Amen to that. The paradox of Christmas. And I want you guys to welcome Reuben Langat. Reuben is from way over on the other side of the world in Kenya. And I can't tell you what a blessing it is that he and his family have been worshiping here at Catalyst here for the last 3 years while you've been at Asbury and Jane's been at, studying for your doctorates. I also want to let you guys know what a tremendous giant is sitting in front. I don't just mean physically, but like every time he gives me a hug, he has to lean down. It's very embarrassing. You know, it really is. But not just physically, but as a man of God. Reuben was pastor of a very large church in Kenya. The president of Kenya was a member of your church and came over here to study and has planted many, many churches. And today we're going to give you a little bit of a different spin on Christmas. Last week we talked about looking at Christmas almost through the lens of hell. And like, why in the world would you talk about hell at Christmas time? Because hell's the reason for Christmas. When we don't understand what we've been saved from, we don't know, we don't understand the rest of it. We don't understand why Christmas happened. That's what we talked about last week. And today, we're talking about Christmas through another line. But before we get into that, Reuben, I just want them to get to know you a little bit better. When you came here to America, it was a little strange, wasn't it?
It was a very strange place to be. First of all, we had never been to America. We landed in Detroit, and everywhere outside was white. And it looked so interesting. But then from there we proceeded on to Mississippi. That is where we first arrived. And from the airport to the place where we were going to stay, we looked outside and the trees were so dead. And we said, "This is America and the trees are so dead? What kind of a disease is this?" And the following day, woke up and wanted to go to the seminary. We lived about 5 minutes away from the seminary. And so I wondered. I came out and I looked at the trees. I said, "What is happening?" It had not dawned on me that it was winter. So the trees to me were so dead. And then I was stopping my colleagues on their way to the seminary. I needed a ride. But I couldn't explain exactly. You know, I said, "Would you please give me a lift?" And the lady looked at me and said, "A lift? I don't have a lift." And she was all by herself in the car. She said, "This is America. People just are so mean. They don't..."
And you were even...
Later on, I understood I would have said, "A ride, not a lift." And I was doing this, and everyone was, you know, passing by, doing the same.
Hey, Kenny, that means come here.
Yeah, in my culture, saying this means come. But in your culture, say hi.
No, but the funniest was when somebody complimented your pants.
Yeah, someone looked at me and said, "Oh, I like your pants." I said, "How did she see my pants?"
Because in Kenya.
Yeah, in Kenya, pants are underwear.
So it was a culture shock for you. Yeah,
that was a great big culture shock to me.
Yeah, so if you go to Kenya, don't ever say "I like your pants." Very good. Well, you know, one of the things that that is very difficult here in America. America has never been an unevangelized country. For the people that came over here, the pilgrims came here seeking religious freedom, and so they brought Christ, and they brought the Bible with them. America has never been a culture without Christ, unlike the culture that you grew up in.
Right.
And so it's very difficult for us as Americans to really understand Christmas. So I asked Reuben to come up here because Christmas, the birth of Christ, was the birth of missions. Christ's entire life was one huge mission trip. And here in America, we don't get that. But I wanted to draw parallels between the missionaries coming to Kenya 80 years ago, you said, and Christ coming to this world. So tell me, in your tribe, what was there before you were introduced to Christianity? What kinds of things were going on?
Before we were introduced to Christianity, you know, people had different beliefs. People would wake up in the morning, face the east, as the sun was rising up, they worshipped the power behind the sun. It's all powerful. So they worshipped the power behind the sun. Those who lived close to the mountains, like Mount Kilimanjaro, for those of you who have read about it, or Mount Kenya, they faced the mountain, and they believed that the power in that mountain was worth it to be worshipped. So people worshipped a lot of things. They had different beliefs. They also went to witch doctors because they respected them. They believed that they were so powerful to heal them mm-hmm. and to help them in times of need. So every tribe in Kenya had different ways of worshipping.
Kind of like the world before Christ came.
Exactly, exactly. African traditional religions were so powerful among the people groups of Kenya. And they knew nothing about the Savior, Jesus Christ, until the missionaries came.
And the missionaries, 80 years ago, they landed in what town?
80 years ago, they landed in Mombasa. This is at the coast part of Kenya. They landed there, and they went on foot. There were no vehicles, no road, and they left the coast, and they went inland several miles away, and it took them 10 weeks to get close to where my people lived, my parents, and they settled there. The place, the name of the place right now is known as Tenwek. Dave and his wife and others who have been to Kenya with me have been to that place. Tenwek literally means 10 weeks. These Africans heard Americans say, oh, it took us 10 weeks to get here. And they said, oh, Tenwek. So 10 weeks.
Why would people leave their homes, go to a foreign country, and walk 2.5 months through jungle, through brush? Malaria was a big problem.
Yes, wild animals.
Wild animals. Why would they do that? That's crazy.
Death is because of the love that they had for our people. The love of Christ just brought them. They wanted us to experience the love that they had. The love of Christ that made a difference when they arrived to my people. They introduced Christ to my people. Well, yes, they knew God existed by looking at these mountains and all this creation, but they were literally worshiping the creation, not the Creator.
The only thing crazier than missionaries doing that is Christ leaving heaven to come here.
Correct.
Wow. Well, so it was really hard for your people to accept a new faith, wasn't it? I mean, that was difficult for someone to come in and introduce a whole new faith. And I mean, kind of like Jesus, when he came, it says here that he came here in 1 John 1. He said he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I mean, kind of like when the missionaries came to your tribe.
Right. It wasn't easy because the people saw these white people come into their place. They wondered what they had come to do. According to some, you know, they saw white people as eating people, and they started running away from them. They didn't actually trust them. But as they continued watching them and seeing the actions and what they were doing, they realized that they were good people bringing Christ. But it wasn't easy because as the missionaries started teaching the Africans to leave their practices, to leave their beliefs, and to begin to worship Christ. That was a new thing. They had never heard about it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't easy. But over the years, that has made a difference.
Now, you told me about kind of the breakthrough moment when a missionary saw a ritual that you had already had for, what, 1,000 years?
Yes.
Already existed in your tribe that he said, let me tell you what you already know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. Listen.
The tradition that was there over the years among my people was that whenever a person had sinned, or in terms of murdering or doing anything that was seen to be bad in the community, the elders would come and say, this person to be accepted back into the society, he needs to be cleansed. And so there was a cleansing ceremony, which was traditionally done. And if the person was remorseful to ask for forgiveness and say, I am sorry, I need to be cleansed, you would be asked to provide a spotless lamb. Spotless lamb. White, white completely. And it would be taken down to the river where there is a stream of water flowing. And it would be told to stand on the water that flows. And a branch of a tree would be found, or it would be taken to where there is a branch that crosses over the stream. And that spotless lamb that he has provided would be hung on that branch, head facing down on him, and the man is completely naked. And the lamb would be cut on the throat, and the blood of the lamb flows on him down, and the water takes the blood. He was considered cleansed by the blood of the lamb. So the missionaries, when they discovered that story among my people, they started using it to introduce Christ. Now, Jesus is that lamb, spotless lamb. You do not have to kill your lambs again for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is enough. And when they started getting that story, it was a breakthrough.
And then after the blood would run over, they would go under the water.
Yes.
To cleanse. And then when they came back out, they were
accepted. He's a new person.
And they would have a celebration.
Accepted again in the community.
Praise God. I mean, that is amazing. See, yeah, absolutely. And so basically what that tells me is that even before your people knew about Christ, God planted a seed there.
Correct.
In your that was waiting for a missionary to come and tell you what you already knew.
Correct.
You already knew it. It's just that's absolutely.
It was a
amazing.
New revelation when the missionaries came. They said, it's like saying, you have been worshiping this, but you didn't know. You know, this is the right way to do it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so I've heard of things like this in other cultures, like in China, from what I understand, the word for flood, the Chinese writing is a boat with 10 people on it, Noah, or 8 people on it, Noah, his wife, and 3 sons and their wives, that missionaries use to point the people to Christ. They exist everywhere, and it's just amazing. And so Jesus basically at Christmas time came to tell us. He said, you've heard it was said, but I tell you. He's saying, this is what you already know, but here I am.
Yes.
Amazing. So after the tough work of the missionaries was done, has Christianity made any difference in Kenya? Because this is what I was taught in schools, that the missionaries were bad. That they went and they, you know, people were very happy. People were living their lives, you know, just kind of minding their own business. And all of a sudden the missionaries came in and imposed themselves on the people and kind of destroyed cultures and how awful. That's what I was taught in school. So that obviously happened in Kenya. Let me turn your mic.
Sorry. I'm not used to this.
It's okay.
The coming of the missionaries brought a new chapter among my people. As I said before, they had different beliefs, you know, worshiping kind of idols. The power behind the sun, the power behind the mountains, and going to witch doctors when they were sick. That changed when the missionaries came. People started knowing God through Jesus Christ. Not only through the general revelation that they knew before, through the creation, but they started knowing God through His Son, Jesus Christ, when the missionaries came. That was a new chapter, as I said. The beliefs of the people changed. Education changed. People.
How did education change?
The missionaries started building mission schools. I went to mission schools myself, all through. I guess up to now, until I'm, because I'm in Asbury Seminary in the U.S., or in Kenya and in the U.S., mission schools. Uh-huh. That brought a difference. People before never put their children to school, and especially girls. My wife went to school because, you know, her parents were Christians.
And prior to that?
Prior to that,
girls didn't go to school.
No school. Hmm. No school. And even those who started putting their children to school, they started with the boys. And they would give away their girls for marriage when they were young, 13, 14 years, gone. There was no education. But that changed when the missionaries came. Medical came in also. There are so many mission hospitals in Kenya. The place I talked about earlier on, Tenwek, there is actually a big mission hospital. Dave and Beth have been there. And Pat, she's not here this morning. I don't see her. They have been there. This is a big mission hospital, having 350 beds. CT scan is there, all this. That changed. The people who used to go to witch doctors are no longer going. They have come to these medical facilities that have been provided by the missionaries and Christians from this country that have prayed and supported the missionary work. That brought a difference.
So when Christ comes into a culture, he doesn't just forgive sins. He holistically cares for the whole person.
Correct. Physical, so, spiritual. Hmm. Yeah. And that has happened. Because even out of Tenwek Mission Hospital, we have community health and community development. That is holistic approach of doing missions.
And just like just about every hospital here in America is named Baptist something or Samaritan something, we see the effect of Christ and Christmas on a culture. So, but for right now, you because of your conversion to Christianity, you decided to go do missions and you began planting churches among the Maasai tribe, which are tribal people living there in Kenya. You've planted 15 churches among the Maasai people. Tell us about your early church planting. I mean, you planted a church and a huge crowd came, didn't they?
That's a lie. First of all, we were missionaries for 10 years among the Maasai. And by the way, today, this is our 23rd anniversary. We got married 23 years ago.
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you.
Everyone give Jane a hug because I'm sure that's, you know.
The work of planting churches is never easy. I don't know whether it's easy in America, but in Africa, no. I remember planting this one church. And people would come sometime. But there are some days, Sundays that I went in there, waited. No one showed up until I decided, well, next time I go, I'll do what I want to do. I'll preach loudly, pray loudly, sing loudly, make announcements loudly.
To nobody.
At least what encouraged me was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are with me. I'm not alone. So I realized every Sunday that I'm there by myself, we are four. And so I started singing and doing all these things loudly, like I had a large congregation. But one day, someone showed up. He used to go walking in a mission hospital. And every time he passed by, he had me talk. But he knew I was alone. He came one time, looked in, said, "This guy is crazy. He's all alone." But one day he showed up and he said, "You know, I've heard you say all these things that you said loudly, and I decided to come." So he came. I thank God for giving me that insight to do things loudly, mm-hmm. so that he could hear and come in.
Amen.
That's but wonderful. It was something. But today,
yes,
that
today.
Congregation is going. That's grown.
Amen.
That's grown.
So what is going on right now? As because of Christ coming at Christmas time and bringing us the gospel, and because the missionaries came to Kenya, and because the missionaries came to Kenya, what are you doing now in Kenya? What is the ministries that you and Jane are doing right now?
We, as the missionaries who first came to Kenya, came because of the love of Christ that propelled them to leave this comfort in America. Actually, the first missionaries who lived in Tenwick came from Indiana. Came from Indiana, not far from you. They left the comfort of America to come to be with my people. My parents became Christians because of their influence. And then ended up being born in that Christian home. Jane and I were doing ministries back home to show our fellow people the love of Christ. Those who have been to Kenya are a witness to what we do in mm-hmm. Kenya. One is a ministry to the prostitutes, commercial sex workers. We are trying to tell them there is alternative love that Jesus gives. There is love that is far much above the love that this man claimed to give you. And that is the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And so that is what one of the ministries that we are doing. And it's amazing that we have at least about 50 commercial sex workers who have come and they are willing to be rehabilitated. That is what is going on right now. Second is the ministry to the street children. Dave and Beth planted trees in where they stay. Mm-hmm. They saw them. We took them to where those boys stay. They could not control their tears seeing those boys. And today, I can tell you, we have one who went to university doing Amen. Chemistry, bachelor's in chemistry.
Amen.
What a joy mm-hmm. to have that orphan boy, no home, no parents, no relative, have an opportunity to go to school. And an American is putting him to school. Jim Goggins, my friend from Mississippi, is educating him. There are others who are going to school, who lived in the streets, but now they have a home, a place to have meals. They have doctors who volunteer to see them whenever they are sick. That is one of the ministries that we do.
You can't teach someone Christ when their body's hurting.
Exactly. You cannot say, go home and get warm before you give them a blanket.
Right.
So right now, in the place where Dave and Beth saw, we bought 12 acres of land with the help of Christians again from this country. 12 acres of land with the buildings that are there. And right now we are planting flowers for export. We have the pipes, everything on the ground, so that we can have the ministry be self-supporting, so that we don't always depend on donors from outside. Mm-hmm. That is what is going on.
Wonderful.
Another ministry is the baby center.
Yeah, tell them about the baby center.
The baby center, that family can tell you. They saw, they went holding the babies.
Now, these are babies that you just find in the
yeah,
street.
Before I came to the U.S., I was the founding chairman of this home. And I didn't ever dream of what that home was going to be exactly the way it is now. It's a big home. You can search it online, hecbabycenter.org. You can go there and see the babies. This is a home that takes care of abandoned babies. They come to us through the police. They come, those girls and others, they bring them right to the gate and abandon them. But we take them in, care for them, show them the love of Christ. Right now, as I left from Kenya 3 weeks ago, there were 80 babies. There are about 200 that have come and gone through the home for adoption. There are three now in the U.S. adopted by Americans.
They would just die in the street. These babies would just die.
Of course.
There's no structure like...
No.
Nothing. No. They would just die.
They would just die. But because of the love of Christ and the missionaries, we have a missionary couple who are the directors of the home, the Jacobs, again from Indiana, Mishawaka, South Bend. They are the directors of the home. That couple can tell you stories about those babies. These are realities. These are things that are going on because of the introduction of Christ.
Because the introduction of Christ.
Yeah.
So all of that is going on right now, including, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the offering that we take up, 10% of everything that comes in here goes out to support missions. We support Herco Family Mission, which we do church planting in Jamaica. We support Bluegrass Christian Camp, which kids from this this church go to every year. And we're also supporting Africa, Gospel for Africa, which Ruben is in charge of. And you're going to be planting a church when you return back home when your studies are done.
That is my passion.
Yes,
my father was a church planter, planted about 50 churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're following his footsteps.
And so this church here is taking part in these ministries. Just letting you know that's and I love getting when you come up and everybody can see what tithe money goes to. And I love it. And we are so excited about your continued work over there. But it was basically, the guys, what's going on in Ruben's life is a living Christmas story. Because Christ came to a non-Christian culture and taught us Christ. The missionaries came to a non-Christian culture and taught them Christ. And you can see what happens now. Now there are churches being planted. Babies are being cared for. Prostitutes are being ministered to. All these things are happening simply because the introduction of the gospel. That's why. And you look over all the world, you realize that this church exists because of Christmas. You realize that mission trips exist because of Christmas. Every church, every hospital that has Baptist or Methodist or exists because of Christmas. Everything that happens mission-wise, Christianity-wise, happens because of Christmas. All this stuff is happening because some missionaries left their home to bring Christ to you and your tribe.
Amen.
And they left because 2,000 years ago, Christ did the same thing. And so, guys, when you celebrate Christmas on December 25th, you're celebrating the greatest mission trip that ever took place. Christ was the very first missionary. And, you know, all of you that are going to Jamaica here in June, do you realize that by going, you're celebrating Christmas? That's Christmas. You know, our team from the Dominican that just came back, you guys realize that you were celebrating Christmas. Going to Asia, I was celebrating Christmas. Rodney's work in Haiti, when he goes down there, he will be celebrating Christmas. When our people that have gone to Kenya to do mission trips with you, that is a Christmas thing. Guys, we cannot separate Christmas and missions because Christmas was the beginning of Christian missions. And so there's some of you that are saying, well, you know, Dave, you talk about missions all the time, and I plead guilty because I do. I really do. I'm sorry. But there are many of you that say, you know, you talk about missions all the time, but I just don't know if I should go. I just haven't felt God call me to missions. Well, here's a little different perspective. Christ's whole life was a mission trip. It was one long mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. So his life, if we're Christians, supposed to be Christ-like, we are supposed to do missions. And then at the end of his life, At the end, after his resurrection, he gave another command to nail it down, go into all the world and make disciples, just like I have. And so, you know, I wonder if Christ is saying, I don't know how I can make it more clear to you guys. I don't know how I can make it more clear. My entire life was a mission trip. I gave you the command at the end of my life to go into all the world. So this is what I want to tell you. Those of you guys that are wondering, debating about missions, about going into missions, he's already told you to go. The only reason you don't go is if he tells you to stop, if he tells you not to. The default mode for a Christian is go on missions. That's the default mode, okay? Not the special mode. The default mode is we go because that's what Christ did, and we're supposed to be like him. And the only reason you don't go is if God says, no, this is not the right time. This is not the right place for you. Okay? So that's a little bit of a different spin on Christmas. That when you celebrate Christmas on December 25th, you're celebrating missions. The two, you can't separate the two, Christmas and missions.